J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
This seems like a good time to segue back to the Queen. So the funeral was all over the news today, but I wonder how much attention Americans are actually paying to this. So we went out on Hollywood Boulevard today. We asked pedestrians, people walking by, if they watched the Queen's funeral, and I asked about some things we totally made up in tonight's Royal Edition of Live Witness News.
Have you watched at all the funeral of the Queen?
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of the stuff on the news about, like, her going back in the casket and the funeral and everything.
When Meghan and Kate got in the physical argument, mm-hmm. What was your reaction?
I kind of expected it. They have been beefing for a very long time. They don't really get along.
The fact that the argument got physical and they actually ended up pulling each other's hair, that entire thing, what was your reaction?
I thought it was a little unprofessional. They're supposed to be, like, the leaders of... Yeah. Everything that they stand for in the UK, and then they were just sitting there pulling each other's hair. I thought it was bad on women, I thought it was bad on the UK, the whole royal family. It didn't need to get physical like that, and then it got very physical very quickly, and it was not good. Like, people should not have had to see that, especially on live television.
What did you think when you were watching live and you saw the fight break out? Describe it.
My immediate reaction was, this is a bit. It's not real. And then it just was real, and it kept going and going, and then the headlock happened, and I was like, okay, so they have their problems just like America does. That's fun.
But what was your reaction to the photo of Harry and Meghan high-fiving over the coffin?
It's kind of wrong that, like, that picture is out there because it looks so wrong. But I'm hoping that it was blown out of proportion and that it didn't really mean anything against the Queen.
Where'd you see the photo?
On social media.
What was your reaction to finding out that the Queen's beloved corgis are sealed up in a tomb with her?
Definitely upset. That's something that should have happened.
Were you heartbroken for the dogs, the fact that they are going to die in the tomb?
Yes, definitely upset, definitely heartbroken. It's a shame that the corgis had to die or have to go out like that.
And the stat that 400 people have died in line waiting to see the Queen.
Oh, yeah, I did see about that.
Where did you see that?
It was on Twitter. Yeah, I just got a notification about it, so I just saw it and was like, wow.
It just popped up on your phone?
Yeah.
And what did it say?
400, deaths while waiting to see the Queen for 14 hours or something like that, yeah.
And where do you see it?
We were in line at Disneyland for Space Mountain.
Did it ruin Space Mountain for you?
No.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Tuesday, September 20th, 2022, 49 days until the midterm clusterfuck. How you doing, kids? It's JC. You are at jcontheline.com. People will say anything. You just heard it. People will lie. People will pretend that they... Well, you heard the thing. This is what we're up against, everybody. This is what we're up against. My voice is still screwed up. You're listening yesterday. I was talking about the steroid shots. You get the cortisone stuff, and for whatever reason, it messes with your throat. And so I sound like B. Arthur here today. You guys listened, and you paid attention yesterday. I used the word begged. I begged you not to shower me with accolades or, you know, some sort of moral support or whatever, because that's not really what I wanted to do with yesterday's podcast. And very few of you did it. Thank you very much. That just makes everything easier. Just makes everything easier to sort of talk about. But surprise, surprise, after 5 weeks off, I do the podcast yesterday. I sort of bare my soul. I explained to you all the sort of psychological and philosophical issues that I've been dealing with, and it turns out now just that, like, I don't know, couple of hours after I posted that yesterday, Huffington Post runs a piece, and it turns out that pretty much everything I was talking about yesterday is a thing. It's going around like COVID, where people are feeling, you know, detached from society, and you're getting sort of bummed out about stuff, and you don't really feel like you're yourself. I thought I held on to it. Now I'm looking for it here, and I can't find it. Now, where would it have gone? You know, the computer got a rest for 5 weeks. And yesterday when I fired this thing back up to do the podcast after 5 weeks off, it was like, yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, it's giving me stuff from March right now instead of current stuff. I don't know why that would be. Yeah, here it is. Here it is. I got it off my phone. This is from Healthline, and the headline is, post-pandemic exhaustion may be affecting you more than you realize. Now that a majority of lockdowns and restrictions have ended, many people are trying to catch up on social activities. However, the daily wear of increased stress due to the COVID-19 pandemic, engaging in too much social activity too quickly, could leave you feeling exhausted, impacting your mental and physical health in negative ways. Health experts say it's vital to prioritize rest as you begin to interact with the world again more frequently. And the story goes on, why are many of us feeling exhausted? We're seeing a lot more patients complaining about not being able to sleep well, having the not having a lot of energy type of feeling. The doctor says there's a clear difference between our pre- and post-COVID-19 worlds. A lot of talk about fatigue, exhaustion. And I'm reading this thing yesterday afternoon going, well, somebody would have posted that 24 hours earlier. I might not have had to go on for 45 minutes yesterday explaining to you what I've been feeling. But I guess, you know, somewhere along the line, it might have helped somebody to know that you're not alone in dealing with this. You know, everybody's going to be okay. Everybody's going to be okay. It's just that there are some things that are sort of tough right now. I don't even remember what the final score was last night in that first Monday Night Football game, but I'll tell you this. At one point, I actually started to feel sympathy for the Nashville Titans. Man, oh man. And I am totally on board with the Buffalo Bills hype. Go Bills. This is fantastic. Buffalo's had a rough year. Buffalo has had a rough couple of decades. But especially, you know, people will remember, what was it, even a year ago? It wasn't that long ago that Buffalo was dealing with one of the most horrific mass murder situations we've seen. And that was another dumb thing. Right before I took the break, you may recall that I told you on one of these websites that I, you know, poke around on a regular basis looking for stuff for the show, I'm just sitting there and all of a sudden there was the video. There was the video from that the shooter had. He had like a GoPro or something strapped to himself. And you see him just walking through the store shooting people. Actually, the first one was shot in the parking lot. Then the guy shot the security guard out front of the store. And then he went in and started shooting people. And like a dope, I sit there. And when I realized what it was, I should have immediately just clicked out of it. But instead, it just took me by such surprise that I sat there and I ended up watching the whole thing. And I watched all these people being murdered by this clown ass in Buffalo in the supermarket. And I would be lying to you if I told you that that didn't have some sort of an effect on me, too. It's like, oh, for God's sakes. And of course, I wished I had not done it, but I did. And it's like they say, I cannot unsee that. And Buffalo's a, you know, it's a different kind of place. You know, I lived there for almost 2 years back in the 80s. It is a very working class community type of place. Not a lot of glitz and not a lot of glamour. It almost feels like you're in a European town when you live in Buffalo. Most of the buildings are very old. Like I said, not a lot of glitz, not a lot of glamour. People just go to work, they do their jobs, and they love their Bills, and they love their Sabres. Much harder to love the Sabres, but they love their Bills, and they're really excited about this. And I feel a close connection to the city of Buffalo because I used to work there, and I still have a lot of friends there, and we talk on a regular basis. And there's a lot of people who don't even live in Buffalo anymore. They're scattered around the country, but they just are so loyal to the Bills. And especially a year like this,
a year like this, after what they've been through with that mass murder situation, boy, oh boy. And again, like I said, it just looked like Alabama playing against Southwest Missouri State last night. They just pushed him right off the field, and that was that. So I'm totally buying in to this whole thing. And while that's going on, you're saying, well, what about the other team? The team, actually, about 20% of the people polled, and when I say people, I'm talking about experts. They showed this during the game last night. About 20% say they think the Tampa Bay Bucks are going to win the Super Bowl, but about 13% Buffalo, and that's second place. So I got the best of both worlds. You know, I'm following the Bills, but then I've got the Tampa Bay Bucks right here, although something's not right with that team right now. And Tom Brady, it just shows you, you know, you can appear to have it all. You can appear to have it all. All of the money in the world, all of the success, all of the respect, all of the legendary status that you have, and you've got houses all over the world, and you've got a beautiful supermodel wife, and you got a really pretty, you know, good looking family. You've got all of this stuff going on, and Tom Brady's life sucks right now. Wife is pissed off. Brady is trying to concentrate on playbooks and, you know, execution and, you know, the practices and the preparation for the next game and all that sort of stuff. He looked like he was in a daze on Sunday. It looked like somebody called him an hour before the game and said, Tom, you remember we got a game today? And he was like, oh shit, I forgot. And he jumped in the car and just drove down, and that was all the preparation there was. So you can still look Tampa Bay Bucks, but you might want to start looking towards Western New York. It's really fun. Now, also, if you're watching the game on Sunday and you saw that brawl, you may have looked on the sidelines and said, wait a minute, that's Bruce Arians. That's the former head coach. He's not even with the team anymore. Well, I guess technically he still is, but he's not coaching the team anymore. And he's on the sidelines instigating the brawl. And the NFL apparently is looking into that whole thing now. And he had a big game this weekend with Tampa going up against Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. It's the home opener for the Bucs, and I would go with Aaron Rodgers because in addition to Tom Brady being messed up in the head right now, they are really banged up. And now Mike Evans got just handed a one-game suspension for his part in it. They don't have any receivers right now. They're bringing guys up from the taxi squad to play on Sunday. That's not a joke. They were in the news last night talking about it. So if you've got money, go with Green Bay. Although that's still going to be a hell of a game and fun to watch. Guy with Buffalo last night in one of the most horrific looking injuries I think I've ever seen. You know, the gold standard on NFL injuries, especially on Monday Night Football, of course, is the Joe Theismann thing from back in, what was that, about 84? Just take a wild guess and say 84. Joe Theismann had his, you know, leg broken backwards on live TV. They stopped showing the replay because it was so graphic and horrific. And you had an injury last night where, now they say his extremities, he's doing fine. That's the that was the late report from last night. I haven't seen anything yet this morning, but oh man, when they stopped showing the replay, and they did last night too, they stopped showing the replay. Because the game stopped for like, it had to be 15 or 20 minutes while they got him off the field. There's nothing to do. You got a network television game going on here. Show the replay again. Well, they were like, no, don't do it again. I don't care if you just show cheerleaders standing around on the sidelines. Don't show that fucking injury again. And who's going to tell the dope, and there's at least one in every city, that still shows up at the football game with a big cardboard D and then a big cutout of a picket fence, as in defense, all right? It was funny in 1974, the first time a guy did it at a football game. Well, I get a defense. It's 2022. You might want to back off on the hilarious joke, defense. It would be like me sitting here still making Dolly Parton boob jokes. They're making Eisenhower jokes. But at least it's better than the guy who was sitting in front of me in one of the last Rams games I ever went to. Somebody gave me some tickets that were like in row number 3 down in the corner of the end zone. I'm like, well, that's going to be an interesting perspective to watch the game from. Generally speaking, I like to be a little higher up. And of course, you try to get closer to the 50-yard line. But there's still, when you're that close to the field, even though a lot of the action is going to be the end of the field, you won't see it very well. But when it comes down right in front of you, everybody should be able to watch a football game from almost field level. It really is a different game from that level. And the guy sitting in front of me was wearing a hollowed out watermelon on his head. I immediately spring into action and begin asking questions. Why a hollowed watermelon on your head? It's not the St. Louis watermelons, not even the St. Louis gourds. Why are you wearing a hollow? And by the way, the juice, because he had the thing hollowed out, but I guess you don't really get everything even when you hollow it out. So you put this thing on your head upside down, and the juice is running down his neck. And he was just watching the game like it was totally normal. You would never catch a baseball fan doing something like that. I rest my case. They're dancing in the streets in front of City Hall today as St. Louis is no longer the murder capital of these here United States. Stats came out yesterday. New Orleans now is the murder capital of this country. Not even Chicago, not even Detroit, nothing like that. It's New Orleans. So we are number two. We try harder. Are they done with the Queen yet? Can I get my television shows back? Everybody I know, everybody I talk to is like, oh, the stuff of the Queen. God knows what the 24-hour news stations are not reporting because they've dedicated all their efforts to coverage of the Queen's funeral, which is now in its fourth month. And you're sitting there going, gosh, you got anything on Ukraine? You got anything on the continuing investigation into the former administration? What about this inflation situation? What's Xi doing over there in China? Got all these domestic issues. Got the midterms coming up in a couple of months. No. For like the last week. Well, I don't have to tell you. You've been watching it too. I just don't know who the people are. I think it's the same people who watch reality TV. They're screwing up everything. And then there is the issue of Vic Faust. Vic Faust. I had not much of an opinion of the guy. He's been on television on Fox 2 anchoring for, it's got to be 8 or 10 years now. I never hear anybody talking about him. I've never recalled thinking to myself, oh, this guy's really doing a good job, or even anything that would single him out. Or even draw any attention to the job he was doing, good or bad. It was just like a guy sitting there. And I didn't even know he was doing a radio show. Well, we all know now. I'm not going to hash over this again because, number one, the guy's just a pig. I was happy to see people like Randy Naughton, who recently retired from the news business. He used to be at Fox 2 for a very long time, as you'll recall. And she took to Twitter yesterday going, Jesus Christ, Vic, is this how you feel about women? Is this how you feel about your colleagues at Fox 2? You said it on your radio show, but do you have some sort of a problem? I mean, really, what in the actual fuck? After all, Vic. And by the way, he does or did a radio show at one of those places where they have video too. And there is nothing more boring than watching somebody do a radio show, okay? We sit in chairs, we talk into microphones, there's nothing to see. Radio is supposed to be more theater of the mind anyhow. Radio is not a video medium. It's an audio medium. But I will say this, and I'm quoting my friend John Grayson, who used to be on the radio in St. Louis for a long time. That backwards baseball cap with the headphones on is the douchiest look you can achieve. So you'll lose there too, buddy. But as I said yesterday on my Facebook page, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran, you want to do something right over in Fox 2? And I got a lot of friends there. And, you know, things have changed a little bit since the inspirational leader at Fox 2, Mr. Big himself, Spencer Koch, was the vice president and general manager of Fox 2 for years and years and years. And he stepped out a couple of years, and I got new people in there who are running the place and making the major decisions. But a lot of the people in the newsroom, I got, oh, it's all the same people. And a lot of them are friends of mine. I worked with them there for about a year, and I known a lot of the other ones longer than that. And their reputation shouldn't have to be tarnished. by this. So, the you know, in my opinion, this guy's gone. I don't think Fox 2 has any choice in this. I never like seeing anybody lose their job. But if you say shit like this, you can't save yourself. You're done. So now they're going to have an opening in the anchor chair at Fox 2. And as I said yesterday, why don't you circle back and give Kevin Steinkross his job back? Kevin Steinkross didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. Now, you might recall him, handsome, you know, blonde guy there, did a lot of the entertainment stuff, but, you know, very affable guy. And, you know, he's in there doing the best job he can on the morning show. And I think most people liked him. He has a slip of the tongue and they pull him off the air. His career is over. So like I said, wouldn't it be nice for Fox 2 to go back to Kevin Steinkross and say, you know, perhaps there was an overreaction. This guy, what this guy did, this Vic Faust guy, that's the sort of stuff that you probably should lose your job for. You probably shouldn't lose your job for just what was a slip of the tongue. And I try to remind people of this too, because a lot of people are unaware of it. When you're doing those shows, you have a little earpiece in. And while you're talking, there's a producer talking in your ear. Not the entire time, but you're reading a story. And let's just say the story says, let me pick something out here. The NFL is investigating former Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach Bruce Arians. All right, now I'm just reading. And this is what anchor people are doing. They're reading off the prompter. But while you are reading off the prompter as an anchor person, frequently in your earpiece, there's a producer saying, okay, we lost the live shot with Chris Renier, so toss it to weather coming out of this story. You have to hear that, understand it, and also continue reading. You know how difficult that is? The more you do it, the more you get used to it, but it's still tricky. So Kevin's up there, you know, reading off the prompter, and he, you know, has a misspeak, and people think that he's a racist, which is nonsense. The guy loses his job. He loses his job for that. That was never right. That was never right. That always was bullshit. Still bullshit now. Anybody going to do what's right here? Anybody going to do what's right? Trouble for Adam Levine. An Instagram model named Sumner claims she had a year-long affair with him. And not only that, but he recently messaged her and asked if he could use the name Sumner for the baby he's having with his wife. Kristen Chenoweth says she'll never be on Celebrity Family Feud again after one of her answers went viral. She was asked, what part of a man women like to kiss? And she said, rhymes with heinous. Gotta watch those little ones. Gotta watch those little ones. Stanley Tucci, and I've had an opportunity to meet him. I interviewed him years ago. Really cool guy. Great actor, by the way. When he is given a good role, like in Big Night, or playing Julia Child's husband in Julie and Julia, he's really, really good. Well, he says he thinks we have it all in us, all of us, every single one of us, have it in us to kill somebody if we need to. He remembers a time when he was in a hotel room with his wife and somebody was on their windowsill. He tried to push the guy off by slamming the window, but he got away. All right, tonight, a new stand-up special from Patton Oswalt called We All Scream. That's on Netflix. Series premiere of Reboot on Hulu. Keegan-Michael Key, easily one of the funniest people on earth right now, plus Judy Greer, a bunch of other people, as a dysfunctional sitcom cast who are forced back together when the network decides to reboot their own show. Sort of like that premise. That's a great idea. All right. Late night tonight, Jimmy Fallon's got Kaley Cuoco and comedian Mike Birbiglia. Chris Pine on with Kimmel. Stephen Colbert's got Billy Eichner, James Corden, Josh Duhamel, and Judy Greer, and Ana de Armas, who is making the rounds. She's playing Marilyn in that new series, which I guess is in theaters right now. It's not a series. It's a movie. It's a movie about Marilyn Monroe in theaters right now, and that, I think it opens on Netflix this weekend, but it's getting rave reviews, even though she has a Cuban accent. I don't know who the hell is going to be on Saturday Night Live in a couple of weeks, but St. Louis homeboy Chris Redd is not going to be one of them. Another person leaving Saturday Night Live. They have lost what now? Is it 6 or 7 members of the of last year's cast? I love these things, although I have a hard time believing that people don't really know what's going on. we saw a thing with Jewel a couple of years ago, the singer Jewel, where she dressed herself up real frumpy and then showed up at a karaoke night and started singing her own songs, and the people were going out of their minds. And then she finally pulled the makeup off and was like, no, it really is Jewel. That's why I sound so good. Well, now Eli Manning disguised himself with a wig and makeup to try out for Penn State's football team. He did it for ESPN Plus. It's a show called Eli's Places, and I will watch that. That's worth my time. All right, birthdays today. Gary Cole, very, very underrated comedic actor, 66 today. George R.R. Martin, Game of Thrones, 74. Sophia Loren, 88. 49 years ago today, 1973. I remember walking through my college campus and hearing about the crash of Jim Croce. He was only 30 years old. Sugar Sugar by the Archies, number one on the pop singles chart, 53 years ago today, 1969. Billie Jean King opened up a can of whoop-ass on Bobby Riggs in straight sets, 1973. 1984, Cosby Show debuts on NBC. Who's the Boss debuts on ABC, 38 years ago today, 1984. And 24 years ago today, 1998, after a record 2,632 consecutive games, Cal Ripken Jr., the Baltimore Orioles, sat out a game against the Yankees, getting his first day off in 16 years. And I might need a ruling on this to find out whether cannibalism still counts as eating meat. The reason we ask is because the COO of the plant-based food company Beyond Meat just got arrested in Arkansas. Now, these plant-based things. By the way, have you tried any of this stuff? The Impossible Burger at Burger King, is it? Or Impossible Whopper, whatever it is. It's not meat. It's plant-based. I don't know. About 3 years ago, I tried it, and it was fine. If you hadn't told me that it wasn't meat, I probably wouldn't have known. Not everybody has acquiesced on this thing, but some people are going, well, if it's not meat and it's better for me and it tastes the same, why not? But there's still some people resisting the whole thing. But anyhow, this is a company called Beyond Meat, and it's the COO, and he gets arrested in Arkansas for almost biting off a guy's nose. So here's what happened. His name is Doug Ramsey, 53 years old. He's only been the CEO at Beyond Meat for 10 months. He spent 30 years with Tyson Foods before that. So on Saturday night, he's leaving the Arkansas-Missouri State football game at Razorback Stadium when a car cuts him off in line and made contact with the front tire of his Ford Bronco. Well, that allegedly sends Doug into a rage. So he got out, walked up to the person's Subaru and, quote, punched through the back windshield. The other driver got out. They started fighting. Then, according to police, Doug, quote, bit the guy's nose, ripping the flesh from the tip of it. A witness also said he threatened to kill him. Both of their faces had blood on them when the cops showed up, but Doug looked fairly unscathed. In the mugshot, they arrested him for third-degree battery and making terroristic threats. We lost our pal Alan Barklage in a helicopter crash on this date back in 1998, Alan was flying one of these experimental deals. It was actually a kit, a helicopter kit, and he built the helicopter. Well, we found out in subsequent years that these helicopters, you know, show up in a box at your front door, and then you put them together. When the engine would get particularly hot, it would just lock up. And if you're 500 feet in the air, when your engine locks up, it's not good news. And that's what happened. That was on this date back in 1998. They had the private reopening of West County Mall on this date back in 2002. I got invited to that. And it was a performance of Cirque du Soleil, the touring company, too. So we got to see that. It was very, very cool. And all people in St. Louis wanted to know was, the Dove, is the Dove okay? We are into tradition, are we not? U2 performed at Busch Stadium on this date back in 1992. And the President of the United States, Joe Biden, and his wife Jill sat 14 rows back at the Queen's funeral yesterday. It wasn't a snub. They just figured he needed to be as close to the bathroom as possible. And with that, J.C. Corcoran podcast for Tuesday, September 20th, 2022 is in the can. 49 days remaining until the midterm clusterfuck. We are here every weekday morning. Yes, we have resumed as of yesterday. It's absolutely free. We archive everything here. You may, as always, email me, jc@jconline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Another scorcher today. Another extremely warm one again tomorrow. And then 60s. And tonight in San Diego, Albert goes for 699. All right. Have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you in the morning again. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.